Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we find ourselves in the middle of 1 Corinthians 15. And this is a passage I particularly wanted to get to prior to Resurrection Sunday, prior to Passion Week in particular. I really wanted to talk before we went to Resurrection Sunday about our resurrection bodies. There is a lot of misunderstanding about what our resurrection bodies are like. It has to do with fun little movies where when a person dies, he goes to heaven, becomes a second-class angel, comes down, does a good deed, gets his wings, becomes a first-class angel. I hate to burst your bubble, but that's not in Scripture. It's in Hollywood Scripture. And then I even talk with believers, and as they talk about their loved ones now and their presence with the Lord, which is appropriate and correct, but there seems to be sometimes a lack of understanding that their presence with the Lord is now soul and spirit, and the day is coming where they will receive a resurrection body, but that day is the same day that we will receive ours, that all of us will receive our resurrection bodies on that wonderful last day when Jesus returns for us. Paul wants to make that clear to the people here, and Paul wants to make that clear to us through the Holy Spirit, of course, as it gives us something as we look towards resurrection for all of us who have believed in Christ as Savior to look forward to with great zeal, with great interest, as we think about the importance of the resurrection as it relates to our new bodies that will be given to us by Christ Jesus. I want to do something a little bit different this morning. It's not too out there, but it is maybe be a little bit out of your comfort zone. So just bear with me for a moment. I want you to start this morning by just looking at your hands. Some of you are already refusing to do this. Come on. Just take a look at your hands. Do you notice just as you look at your hands at how ingeniously they are made? Pretty amazing, isn't it? You can turn the page of your Bible. You can scroll your iPad. You can do things that robots can't do. You can do things that animals can't do. And as we think about them, we see that as we look at our neighbor's hands, now here's the uncomfortable part, look at your neighbor's hands, you'll notice that they're very similar. Most of us have 5 digits, but you will also notice that they are somewhat different. If I take my hand and put it up next to my wife's hand, it kind of more, her hand looks like this in my hand. Some of our hands are really long, some of us are short and pudgy, some of us, they all look a little different. They're all very similar, but they're all very different. They're different right down to the uniqueness of our fingerprints, because that's how we are used to identify ourselves. They're uniquely made by God, and they're wonderful things to behold. I love the way the psalmist puts it. He puts it in a very beautiful way when he says that, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And that's really true about our bodies. There's no doubt that our physical bodies are wonderfully made. But there is also no doubt that our bodies are broken by the curse and by sin. We come to understand that the older we get, don't we? That our bodies are slowly but surely falling apart. Now, one more little look at your hands. And you maybe remember your hands when you were very, very young, and they probably look a great deal different now, no matter how much cream and those sort of things we put on our hands. There's wrinkles and there's scars and portions of our fingers, some of our fingers are missing. And all of those have to do with the fact that not only our hands, but our bodies are slowly but surely deteriorating. And I know that's not very encouraging when you think about it, but they are indeed that way because that is the mark of sin on our life. When Adam sinned, all sinned through him, those who were to come. When Adam died, all through him were destined to die. And as we live, we will also all die. And that's why it's such a wonderful blessing for us to realize that that's not all there is. That it's just not a matter of us ending up moldering away in a grave, turning back into dust. And indeed, Jesus promises that a day is coming where he will return for us and he will make all things new. And that includes my hands, and that includes my heel, and that includes my back, and that includes my brain, and that includes everything about me is going to be fixed. It is going to be perfect and eternal. And that's what we want to talk about today. I love the way it's put in Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21, where Paul says, "We eagerly await our Savior." And the thing that I'm learning in my life is that the older I get, the more eagerly I await. We eagerly await our Savior who will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of his glory. Now, can we just think about just how wonderful that is for just a moment? He says, he promises here and elsewhere, as we will see today, that he's going to take this humble estate, which is a very nice way of putting it, and he will conform it into his body of glory. In other words, as another passage says, we are going to be made like Christ. And so today I want to talk about what that looks like. That's an amazing, amazing promise. A promise that is fleshed out, if you'll forgive the pun, in the resurrection of Jesus and will someday be fleshed out in each and every one of us who have believed in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, as we celebrate, prepare for the celebration of the resurrection, I wanted us to have this in mind. I wanted us to be thinking about this as we celebrate a resurrected Savior and his resurrected body, and to realize that the day is coming where our bodies will be like his. And so on this final Sunday before Passion Week, I want us to consider then from the verses before us what our resurrection bodies are going to be like. So follow along this morning as I read the text that we'd like to open, and then let's ask for God's insight as we make this a reality this morning. I'd like to read verses 35 through 49 this morning. 15, 35 through 49. Now, some of you who hang on every message, you will realize that I have not done 29 through 34 yet. I'll be back to it. Just relax. We're coming back there. But I wanted before Resurrection Sunday to have this portion in our minds for our celebration that will come. Verses 35 through 49, this is the word of the Lord. But someone will say, how are the dead raised, and what kind of body will they have? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps a wheat or something like that. But God gives it a body just as he wishes, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, and another flesh of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, the glory of the earthly is another. There's one glory of the sun, and one of the moon, and one of the stars, but stars even differ from stars in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown a perishable body, it's raised an imperishable body. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, then there also is a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy, and as is the heavenly, so also all are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. I'm sure that makes absolute sense to you. So we're going to spend the moment, the morning, opening that up and making that a reality for ourselves. Let's ask for God's grace in doing that. Lord, thank you for this extended passage that compares and contrasts and compares and contrasts and does it over and over again for the benefit of helping us to understand that we will have a resurrection body. And although it will be similar to our physical body, in many ways it will be different. And also that it helps us this morning to understand just how spectacular our resurrection body will be in comparison to this earthly shell, this earthbound, sin-riddled body that we carry. And also for the beautiful, beautiful reminder that our bodies will be like Christ's resurrection bodies. When we leave from here this morning, let us be rejoicing together about what we have learned, about what we will be, knowing that when you return, we will be like you, for we will see you just as you are. Lord, we glory in that great truth. Help us to see it well this morning. And in this passage that is sometimes hard to unwrap, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strong rock, your Son is my Redeemer. It is in the precious name of Jesus that we ask these things, and God's people said, amen. Well, we've been working our way through 1 Corinthians 15 in preparation for the celebration of Passion Week. And in our studies, we've been going through it by asking and answer a series of questions. In the 35th and 36th verses, or in the 35th verses, Paul adds his own questions to be answered. And those two questions are these. How are the dead raised, he asks to begin with. And secondly, with what kind of body do they come? And as so often is the case with Paul, he'll address a question and then he'll come back to it later. And this first question, although there are tinges of an answer for it in the verses before us today, we will see that how are the dead raised is actually addressed in verses 51 through 58. Just look there really quick. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not sleep. We will all be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable. Well, that's where he answers the question, how are the dead raised? He's going to explain what that looks like. And so we are going to set this one aside until after Passion Week. What we want to really deal with this morning is what kind of bodies are we going to have? And the way I'd actually like to put this across is to ask this question. What will our resurrection bodies be like? I'd like to give us just a sense of this whole idea. Now, an important introduction here that's important for us and important for the people of Corinth. The people of Corinth struggled with this idea of a resurrection body. Remember, we talked about that in resurrection number one. We talked about they who believed that this body was a prison of sorts, and they looked forward to the day when they breathed their last, because then they would be released from this prison to spend eternity in an immaterial body. There were some of them among them who were Jewish, who had been taught something expressly different, that indeed that the Messiah would come, and he would resurrect the bodies of those who were his own, and that their bodies would be exactly the same as when they breathed their last. They would just pick up and take off from there. However old they were, however young they were, that's where they would take off from. There were others who taught that when the Messiah came, that the body would come from the ground, but that body would be completely different. So in much, even though in our evangelical circles where people struggle with what will our body be like, when will we receive it, et cetera, these struggled in much the same way. So what Paul is doing in this passage to help them and to help them is to help us understand that the resurrection body was, first of all, a certainty. It was going to be there, and that's the most important thing the Greeks of Corinth needed to know, that it would be similar in some ways as our physical body that we carry about today, but that it would be different in many, many ways. And so he's going to do that over these verses. These verses become a lot simpler if we just separate them out for what he is trying to do. In verses 37 through 41, he establishes some analogies. You know what an analogy is. An analogy is just alike. This is like that. An orange is like an apple, but it's not exactly like an apple. There are differences, but they're both fruit, they're both round, etc. Like an analogy. So he is going to start off with some analogies to help them understand the similarities of their resurrection body and the differences of the resurrection bodies. Then in verses 42 through basically 48, he's going to do a series of contrasts. And you'll see it in 42 if you just look at it. It says, we are sown a perishable body, we're raised an imperishable body. See the contrast? We're sown in dishonor, we're raised in glory. We're sown in weakness, we're raised in power. We're raised a spiritual body, we begin a natural body. So he's going to do a series of contrasts. And then in verse 49, he's going to speak to us that we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. And that's where we begin to be able to open it up and say, well, what was the image of the heavenly? And then for just a few moments, we'll go and look at what Christ's resurrected body was like. So if we open it up that way and take it piece by piece, this passage quickly opens itself up and becomes understandable to we who are the readers. So let's begin with it. Analogy from nature, and it's in two parts, beginning when verse 35. Someone will say, how are the dead raised? Another will say, what kind of a body do they have? You fool. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. I take it that Paul is probably building right on the words of Christ Jesus, who in 12:24 of John said, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. And I think Paul is just building on this passage, a passage that every culture, agrarian or not, understands that you've got to take a portion of the harvest, that piece of wheat, that seed, has to be dropped into the ground, a picture of death, for it to be raised again to new life. So even in a city as large as Corinth or Santa Clarita, the principle of sowing and reaping is a familiar one for us to understand. Our physical and our resurrection bodies, he is saying, is much like seed. There is a similarity to the seed analogy and our physical and resurrection bodies. So he says, first of all, when you think about a physical versus a resurrection, he says, think about seed. In verse 38, then he explains that which you sow, you do not sow the body, which is to be, but you sow a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wishes, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. And we've seen that. We take a seed, we open up the soil, we put it in, we water it well, we fertilize it some, we watch it come forth, and it looks like that which it was. It might look like the daisy seed it came from. It might look like the rose bush it came from. It might look like the orange tree it came from, but it's not the orange tree, but it does look similar to it, right? And so his whole seed analogy is to help us understand that, like seed that goes into the ground, when our bodies go into the ground, the new body that he will bring forth at the calling out of the resurrection, there will be great similarities to the old one. They will be recognizable. They will be understandable as that person that we knew and loved in time. That's a wonderful thing as we think about it, as we are all resurrected, and we will immediately, I think, gather around those people that we loved in time and that we are going to share eternity with, and we will see that they are very much like what they were when they were in this physical shell. But he says there are also great differences. And so he gives the analogy of the seed to help us understand there are similarities, but he gives the analogy of the flesh to help us understand that our physical and resurrection bodies will be somewhat different. So what he's done up this point in time is similar. Now in verse 39, he says, but here, look at the differences. He says, even when you look around you, verse 39, you'll see that all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, and another flesh of fish. So there is a sign of a creator in the midst of it. We look at it and say, it's all the same thing. They all breathe, they all have this. But we look at them and we go, similar, 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 but they're quite a bit different. A bird is quite a bit different than an elephant. And an elephant is much different than a crocodile. And a crocodile is much different than a person. He says that's how we understand differences. He goes on to help them understand even further. Verse 40, there are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. Again, what he's saying is something is different. And the glory of the earthly is different from the glory of that is heavenly. And all he's speaking here of is not heaven, but the heavens that surround us, because he goes on and helps us understand it. He says, there's one glory that is the sun, and there's another glory that is the moon, and yet another glory that is the stars. And by the way, he says, even the stars are different from each other. And we know that now. All we need to do is go out on a particularly dark night when the moon has not yet come up and pull out our binoculars. And all we have to do, even with just that little bit of aid, we can go, that star is different from that star, which is different from that star, which is different from that star. And that planet is like that planet, but it's different from that planet. And all these things, though similar, though placed in the creation by the Creator, they all have a different purpose, all different use, and they are all different. He says, and there is one glory of the sun then, one glory of the moon, one of the stars, stars different from stars. And then he takes it back and he says, in the same way are the resurrection of the dead. I just finished a book. It's a dumb book. I read four books at a time, and one of my books is a dumb book, and that's the book I go read before I go to sleep, because I don't want to be thinking of heavy-duty concepts before I go to sleep, so I read a dumb book. And this dumb book was called The Darkness, and it's $3.99 at Kindle. It's not great. But and basically what it is a book about how people are turning into zombies. Now, you're learning stuff about me you didn't really care to learn about, right? And so the military are just mowing down the zombies. And the thing that all the zombies have in common is they all have dark eyes and they all have dark mouths. And they're all exactly the same. They're all exactly the same. What we need to understand is that the resurrection, we will not be raised as zombies. Wasn't in the notes, but it's valuable. It's important for us to understand that we will be raised with amazing and beautiful and wonderful differences. We will bear some of the similarities of what we have. I don't know if we will have still some of the gifts and talents. My suspect is that we will have some of the same gifts. But the idea is that each will still uniquely be seen as those who were created in the image of God, uniquely in the way that He created them. And the whole point He's making for us is to say, difference, and 42, so also the resurrection of the dead will be different. In the same way that seeds are sown and the seed that sprouts forth is similar to that which it was before, he said, but also we need to understand that like everything around us, we will be different. So all he's trying to say in these first few verses is similar but different. So we understand those first few verses, 36 through 42. Now 42b, we go on, and he does a beautiful thing. He begins to talk about our physical and resurrection body by way of contrasts. So he's going to contrast what we are now with what we are going to be then. And if you just look through 42, you see he does it very simply. Our body is sown. And the so is important because he's taking it from seed at the top, right? And he's moving back down to this is the physical, and then he's moving to the spiritual. So our bodies are sown a perishable bodies, but they will be raised an imperishable body. In 43, it will be sown in dishonor, it will be raised in glory. It will be sown in it is sown in weakness, but it will be raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it will be raised a spiritual body. So four contrasts. The fourth contrast, he will open up even more fully. Let's look at one of each of them in their order just very, very briefly. Perishable, imperishable. I really don't have much to, that I need to say about this. The moment we were born, we began the process of perishing. And I love to hold a little baby because there's just this little bundle of pink and everything is functioning the way it's supposed to. And the skin, you ever felt the skin of a baby? And just remarkable. But, you know, the last thing you want to say to a parent is hand it back, well, enjoy it because they're on their way to death. That's not valuable. Don't do that. But the sense there is that the truth of the matter is each breath brings them a step closer to their death, right? And at first, it's not particularly noticeable, but soon it will be very, very noticeable. Two nights ago, I'm laying in bed. I was in a deep sleep, and all of a sudden, I wake up, and my right hip is just killing me. It decided to wake, I mean, you know, literally, it is killing me down the road, but for the moment, I'm reminded, it just woke me up to remind me of the curse of death that is in my body. So I said, thank you so much. I get the message. Now can I go back to sleep? And my right hip went, no, you may not go back to sleep. I want you to get up and walk it off. So I said, all right. It hurts really bad, so I stumble out of bed. I got out of bed. I stood on my feet, and my left foot reminded me that that's full of sin, too. And so that's hurting, and the right side I can hardly step on, and I'm saying to myself, I think I need to get one of those walkers. You know, and for about 5 minutes, I had to walk around the room feeling like an old man, and if I would have had my teeth in, I would have chewed somebody out. No, it's not true. But what's my point? We're perishing. We're perishing. Things we were able to do without thinking about when we were younger, we don't even think about doing anymore. But what is perishable is going to be wiped away by the imperishable. Isn't that absolutely amazing? The idea that there's going to be no more pain and no more hurt and no more sorrow and no more struggle. The perishable is going to be eaten up by the imperishable. Our new bodies will be imperishable. Secondly, we'll see our old bodies are dishonorable, and we know that. We know that. We understand the doctrine of sin and of depravity, but he says our new bodies will be glorious. And by glorious, it's all the things that go along with that. Showing the glory of God, able to bring glory to God in the full ways that he wants us to, able to serve without distraction, able to worship with clarity of what we are worshiping, able to enjoy our Savior forever without those nagging things that go on the side of self-serving and selfishness and sorrow and struggle. He says, also, we were born in weakness, so sown in weakness, and we were going to be raised in power. Sown in weakness, but raised in power. And for those of you who are like me and getting a bit older, you're finding that your muscle strength even is not what it once was. We get weaker and weaker. I'm going through the stage right now where I'm having to get used to, because of the color of my hair, I think. I'm starting to have to get used to when I go to pick something up, someone comes running up and goes, oh, no, no, I'll get that for you. And I'm just like, what's the matter with you? We went here the other day, kind of setting up for Good Friday. And I went over and I picked up one of the risers. And sweet Siona come running up to, oh, no, no, I got that for you. I wanted to hit him. Come on. But at the same time, I was incredibly thankful. Because that thing was heavy. When we first bought them, they weren't that heavy. You know, it's just kind of time has sat in on them. No, no. And the truth of the matter is, we get weaker and weaker, don't we? We just get weaker as things go on. I don't know exactly what it means here, but it's going to be raised in power. Isn't that immense? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that special that we're going to be raised in power? Fourthly, we see that we are natural now, and well, you don't have to tell us about that, but we will be spiritual. You know, we have a natural man inside us, we call the sin nature, and then we have a spiritual man inside of us, the battling for control. Isn't it wonderful to know that in our resurrection body, that which is natural and sinful is gone? Our motives will be correct. Our praise will be from the toes of our feet to the tips of our hair follicles. It will all be appropriate. The natural will be gone. The spiritual will be ours. Then he opens this up just a little bit. Verse 45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Another contrast, to be sure, but it's based on the contrast of the natural and the spiritual, right? Do you see it? It's just growing out of that. And so, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. And we all know that. So first of all, we're born naturally, and then in the end, we will be born spiritually. Then he opens it up even further in verse 47. He says, the first man, that natural man, is from the earth. He is earthy. The second man is from heaven. He is heavenly. And we know that, right? What's the birthplace of Adam? Earth. What's the composition of Adam? Dirt. Okay. Where is the second Adam from? Heaven. What's his birthplace? There is none. All right. There is none. And he will be spirit and eternal. As in the earth, so also those who are earthly. As in the heavenly, so those also who are heavenly. Just as we have been born in the image of the earthy, that's us, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. So he says, our natural bodies were born to go through a natural course, and because of sin, we're going to die. But because we have trusted in Christ as Savior, a new body is being prepared for us that is a heavenly, eternal, spiritual resurrection body that will be imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. So you say, well, that's wonderful, but what will our resurrection bodies actually look like? Let's take a look at his body so we can get a sense of it, and then we'll close. Paul says, as we open the service, we eagerly await our Lord who will transform the body of our humble estate, broken as it is, into conformity with a body of his glory. Well, what did his resurrection body look like? Well, can we just, in the final 3 minutes that we have here, go to Luke chapter 24 with me? And let's just remind ourselves, in your community groups this week, you will look at a contrast between the resurrection body and the physical body. But it's a very beautiful passage. I just like to read it and barely even comment on it. I'd like to start at verse 30. Jesus is raised. He's in his resurrection body. In verse 30, he's on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples. He has shrouded himself in some way so that they don't know who he is. And then he reclined with them at table. He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he began giving it to them. Their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And I'm glad it doesn't stop there, because then we could have just said, well, Jesus is spirit. He can look like a man, but he is spirit. But they got up in that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, found gathered together the 11 and those who were with him, saying, the Lord has really risen, and he has appeared to Simon. And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Now, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst, invisible, visible. And they were startled and frightened and thought they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it before them. I don't have to eat in heaven, but it appears that I get to eat in heaven. That just does my heart good. I don't know. No, you know, you can come up and call me a heretic afterwards. That's fine. But just as Jesus' post-resurrection body was in some way similar to his pre-resurrection body, he walked and talked and he reclined and his body carried over some marks of his life on earth, he was also had some pretty amazing differences. He could veil his identity. It could appear and disappear at will. He could walk through walls and doors. He could leave one place and quickly appear in another. And when he ascended to heaven, the angel said, this Jesus will come back in just the same way you saw him go. So what do we have here? Our resurrected bodies will be imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. Our resurrected bodies will be like Christ's forever. And I'm telling you, in my mind, that's something to look forward to. That's something to praise God about with respect to the resurrection. Because of that, I say to you, it's well. It's well with this craziness of life. A life this past week where I lost two people that I love. You know, but I say it's well, because the day is coming where I'm going to see them again. My body, their bodies will finally and once and for all be perfect. Amen. Let's pray together. Worship team, come forward.